one another, say hi. Hello. Welcome back. Good to see you. I saw all your pictures. My goodness, you've been busy this summer. Welcome, everyone. Will you take this time, like I said, to greet? Say hi, my brother. Hi, my sister. Like, really greet one another. When I first started doing this, we really actually embraced it. Now we're kind of like, yeah, whatever. Come on, you guys got to embrace each other. Because the person to the left and right, they're truly your brother and sister. God brought us together in this church for family. Family. I honestly believe that. I feel so much closer to you. Every time we do these events, yesterday we went to St. Anthony's, rather, not St. Francis. We went to St. Anthony's and we served the people there. We had a lot of fun. We did a lot of good things. But man, this is the body of Christ in motion. And look to the right, look to the left. These are truly your brothers and sisters, right? So that's why I say, hi, my brother from another mother. Hi, my sister from another mister. But anyway, welcome, everybody. I'm so glad we're here. Will you bow your heads with me? Let us pray. Gracious Father in heaven, we thank you so much for today. We thank you for your love and your mercy that's poured upon us through the cross and through your church here at CCIC Tri-Valley. God, we ask that you would empower us today with your Holy Spirit. Father, will you prepare our hearts and minds? Ephesians is written in 4 pages. You'll never really get past 4 pages, but even though it's only 4 pages, what's so profound and why this book is so important is that everything that Paul has written some 2,000 years ago has incredible relevance even today. This is like gold, truly, truly like gold. And Ephesians, so much was covered, and especially the gospel message, right? Because the gospel message covers all of our problems, right? It talks about our sin separation from God. It covers the solution from that sin separation. You guys all got your very own seats. Hi. Right? It covers the solution of that sin, right? And what is that solution? That Jesus died for us. And it also covers the result of that, that we have eternal life with him. And what it means to live as a Christian. I mean, this is the most common things that we all ask when we come before God. God, I know that I'm a sinner, but I need your forgiveness. And we receive that forgiveness. And now that we receive that forgiveness, we're all in this stage together in life, and we're walking together. What does that life look like? You know, time and time again, Paul talks about fellowship. The word is koinonia in the Greek. And it's so important because, like I said, you and I are the church itself. And this is what Paul has been preaching over and over again. God has done this. You have been forgiven. You have gotten these things. You have these spiritual blessings and all of these things. But the number one he's talking about is you and I. You and I. So, there's so much things going on here. Not only does what it means to live as a Christian, but a life of holiness as God's people in the church, and our task to really preach the good news to those who haven't been here yet. And today we look upon his closing remarks. Last time we talked about holy wars or spiritual warfare. And this is Paul's summation of everything that he had written previously. He's reminding the church of Ephesus how to live a Christian life. Living the Christian life is not easy, he says. It's not a recipe for easy life, but it is a recipe for holy war. And we kind of explained that about music on Friday night. But it's all about spiritual warfare. And in today's final four verses, right, Paul is summating everything. All that he said comes down to these four verses. So I'm going to explain a little bit about verses 21 and 22. That's not what the main focus is. I want to focus on the last two verses at the end. But I need to do gospel, scripture justice. So let me explain a little bit. So in verse 21 and 22, Paul says it this way. So that you may know how I am and what I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister of the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him for you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and how he may encourage your hearts. And these couple verses remind us originally that this was a personal letter. Okay, this wasn't just a Bible or anything. Paul wrote this letter specifically to the church of Ephesus. And he sent that letter to the believers there and to all the people who would come. You can think of it as the our modern-day postal system, right? There was no telegraph, there's no phone, there's no emails, and basically you had to send someone to do all these things. So Paul sent this man here to deliver the letter, but not only to deliver the letter, but to be an encouragement to them. So that's why Paul writes these things, that he introduces the man in verses 21 and 22, this man named Tychicus. And about all these things, and not only to tell about the letters, but very specific things that's happening to Paul in Rome. Because you guys got to remember, Paul wrote this letter while he's imprisoned in Rome right now. Okay? So that's what the other beautiful thing about this. And he sent this man to tell him exactly what's going on. So that's pretty much what verse 21 and 22. And then he concludes his remark that he wishes and he prays, not only for the believers in Ephesus, but for all the believers everywhere. And that includes you and me. So today I want to focus closely on the final two verses. I think it's very appropriate to bring this sermon series to an end. And it's a reminder of all the important things that we have learned these past several months. So, you know, this whole sermon series was all about who we are, our identity in Christ, right? What is our value, who we think we are, and all these things. And every week I always use the catchphrase or catchword to really help you guys understand what God was driving today. And today's sermon, I taught who we are, and it's called about peace. Peace is one of the most important things that any person can have, right? Because without peace, we live a life of hard struggles. Now, I don't know if you know what life hard struggles is. I don't know. I'm going to share a little bit about my own faith and how I came to know Jesus Christ. And it was all about peace, right? Because I said a while ago in the beginning of the sermon series, there's two primary problems that we have in this world. We alienate ourselves from God, and we alienate ourselves from other people. And no matter how hard we try to solve these problems, for thousands and thousands of years, right, man has failed to do this. In fact, there's no true way to achieve lasting peace. And in fact, the only lasting peace we can have ourselves is the only peace we find in God. And that's why we learned in Ephesians, right? Submit to one another as if you're submitting unto the Lord. And why is this so important? Because no matter what we do in our lives. Like right now we have a president who's trying to make peace with Iran, and we're making all these sanctions and all these things. So there's political policies, there's government ways, there's ways of trying to understand each other. But the truth is, there's no lasting peace. Peace can only come from one thing and one person. See, I'm going to tell you about how I came to know the Lord. Some of you guys already heard this story. This is my personal testimony. Those of you guys who are new haven't heard it, so I'm glad you're here. I can tell the story again. But it's such an impactful thing in my life. And why I share this and why everyone says, why are you always smiling? Why are you so happy all the time? And all this is because I truly have peace. So growing up, I didn't have peace. Growing up, I told you my father was hardly around. He had a business in Korea, and he flew back and forth. I saw him maybe once or twice a year, and my relationship with my father wasn't any good. In fact, when he came to visit me, all he did was tell me, man, this is what's wrong with you. This is what's wrong with you. And he just yelled at me and just told me all the bad things. There was no love. There was no peace. You know, as a father now, my number one thing is to make sure my son always knows that he's loved. Right? Because knowing that you're loved, it brings so much peace in your life. Like, even when I'm yelling at my son, why did you do this? I don't know. I always end with, I love you. So that there's peace. Because when I yell at him, there's, oh, my dad's mad at me. Why is he mad at me? I always tell him I love him. And the reason why is peace. Now, I'm going to expand that a little more. Not only was my home life really hard, my mom worked like 14 hours a day. So there was no one to really guide us at home. And I watched TV a lot. And I watched a lot of cartoons with a lot of violence. And I learned how to fight. And from a young kid, like from the fourth grade, I took Muay Thai. I took all kinds of martial arts. We were doing MMA. I don't know if you guys know who BJ Penn is. He's actually a UFC Hall of Famer. But I trained with BJ Penn before there was MMA. Okay? I did all of these things. Why? Not because it was healthy or because I wanted to do it because it was fun. Why did I take all these martial arts, taekwondo, kickboxing, and all these other things? Because I wanted to fight. I was tired of getting bullied every day. I told you guys in the past that I came to the Lord. My saving grace came at sixth grade. I met the Lord at sixth grade. I didn't give my life to God until the eighth or ninth grade, right around that point. But right prior to that, every day. So it was a living nightmare. I don't know if you guys understand what I'm talking about. I'm talking about dread. Okay? Like, have you ever woken up in the morning saying, oh, why am I here? Why am I doing this? I really don't want to be here. I don't want to do this. Now, as a second generation immigrant, you know, I had no peace either in my house because my parents were Korean and I was English and I was American. I fought that tooth and nail and I regret it today, because I don't speak Korean or I don't really, except for Korean food. but, you know, so I didn't have that kind of peace too. But the kind of peace I'm talking about, like the dread that I'm talking about, when I went to school every day, someone was in my face saying, you effing, you know, they said, they said a negative word for a Japanese person. Yeah, I don't want to say the word. But they said, you effing this. And every day I faced that. Not only did I face that every day someone came into my face and said, what do you want to fight? I don't know if you kind of understand that kind of pressure. It's a hard life. It's a really hard life because every day you have to prove yourself. Every day you have to make sure you're strong. Every day, there's no peace. And the stress mounts more and more and more. Right? When God says, I give you peace with man, I give you peace with me, we understand his calling in life. And this is how when I came to the Lord, this is what made God real to me. For the first time in my life, when I received Jesus Christ, I finally felt like someone had my back. I didn't have it in my house. I didn't have it at school. I didn't have it at anywhere else. Only people that I had was my youth group boys, right? And who I'm really tight with still yet, right? And then just what I had with my relationship with God. When I was in the sixth grade, I knew all the Bible stories. I knew everything. I still know it. But it wasn't until the eighth grade where those stories actually meant something to me. Like, these aren't just words in the Bible just for fun, but God is actually writing to me to tell me a story about my life and what he wants from me. And the one thing that stood out, one empty one said, I love you. Man, those were the words I needed to hear. I love you. And that's why I say to my son every day, because I want him to know that peace. My life is hard, yes. But I can be what I need to do. I can do what I need to do because of that peace I have, knowing that God loves me. And that's what I instilled to my son. So when I came to the Lord, not only did he change my heart and look at, you know, because my worldview was everyone is out to get me. Everyone hates me, right? And all I can do is fight. Like I said, despair. It was really dire. Now, I wouldn't say depression. I don't get depressed. I get angry, if that makes sense. So that was my defense mechanism, to be angry all the time. To be angry all the time. In fact, if you came into my face, man, it would be on just like this. I told you in the past, too, those of you guys don't know, I had to go to special counseling. It's called SMP, Special Motivation Program. And all that was anger management. It taught me how to deal with anger and all these kinds of things. But why did I get angry and all of these things? It's because I didn't have peace. And this is what God says, I will give you peace. It is one of the most important things because, like I said, we always alienate ourselves from other people and we alienate ourselves from God by our actions and by our duties and by the things we do. So when we have this letter, what we learn, what we really achieve and how to achieve lasting peace, is not through man, not through friends, but that peace can only come through God. When I came to know the Lord, I didn't fear anyone else anymore. I didn't really fear them because I actually knew how to fight. Okay? I don't care. I don't care how, what we look like at the end, as long as we fight. And yeah, there's so much machismo there, but you know, there was no peace every day. Fight, fight, fight. So after reminding the Ephesians of their condition, before they placed their faith in God, they said in Ephesians 2, verse 13 through 15, but now Christ Jesus, you who once were far off and have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken us down in his flesh, dividing all walls of hostility, by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself a new place of making peace. This is what God did for me. No more fighting, no more anger, no more any of these things. In fact, I didn't have to look to my fists anymore. Do you know what a relief that is? Do you know how hard it is to live a life a certain way, to fake the funk, if you will? I am this, or I am strong. And we have all these defense mechanisms saying all these things. But inside, we're soft and we're weak and we're hurting. But we, as we live our lives, we become harder and harder and harder. And as we become harder, we become more alienated to God, more alienated to the people around us. You don't believe me? Talk to anyone who has ever had a broken relationship, right? When you have a broken relationship with someone, what is your first instinct? Oh, I'm mad, right? Or what is the, get away at all costs, or what is the other way? Peace at all costs. No, let's work it out. And why? Why is that? Because there's a broken relationship. You need healing from that, and you want peace. This is the peace of God that he's talking about, a peace of everything. No more hostility. So when Jesus died, when he died for you and for me, he means we have peace for one another as well. Ephesians 2:16 says it this way. Paul tells us that Jesus has come not only to unite us together as human beings, but into a new race of people. He says he has reconciled us to God in one body through the cross. Paul says he came and preached peace to you who are far off, to those who are near. And the peace he preached was a peace for both Jews and Gentiles. Jesus killed all hostilities. No more racism, no more segregation. Ephesians 2, 16 and 17 says it this way. And the first thing that he wanted us to be reminded of this morning, and this is why I talk about it, this is why this is the catchphrase more than any of the other four things that I'm going to talk about, is peace. This is the catchphrase, because peace is the most important thing. And we can have lasting peace in our lives, with our people around us, with our families, with our mothers, with our fathers, with our brothers and sisters. Think about any other person that gets into your life that you have beef with. That's how we get the peace. Because it is through that Holy Spirit of God being in us, as image bearers of God, we can have that peace. Which leads us to my second point. Love. The second thing I want us to be remembered of or reminded of in this final sermon of Ephesians, that we are being united with Christ, that we can both know the love of God and share his love with others. Right? Know the love of God and share the love of others. I said it this way, right? The two things that if you want to know how to live your life in a worthy manner, right? What was the two things, you guys remember? It was called the Great Commission Test and the Great Commandment. You guys remember? Okay, so the Great Commission. Well, you guys remember what the Great Commission is? Therefore, go out and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I taught you, right? And what is the great commandment? To love the Lord your God. Come on, guys, you gotta know this. Come on, to love the Lord your God with all your. Okay. And what does all of these, how do you can sum all of these? How does people know that we are Christians? How we love one another, right? And then the second half of that verse says, to love your enemies as you love yourself. Great commission and great commandment test. Love, that's what it's all about. This is what Paul is getting at when he expresses his hope in 6:23, that we have love and faith. Paul talks about it this way first. God's love towards us, and that was in chapter 1, in verses 4 and 5. This is what he says. In God, God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless before him. And here we go. In love, God predestined us for adoption into himself as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. So according to this verse, way back when we pressed it in Ephesians chapter 1, God chose you guys to be his special people. Before the foundations of the world were even laid, God, the Bible says, God chose you. That's something to be think about. You weren't an accident. There's no probability. There's no chances. This is all intentionality by God. The God, the creator of the heavens and earth and everything in between, knew you. And he says, you, my son, I choose you. I choose you. I choose you. You're going to do some incredible stuff for me. Why? Out of love. And it is only through his love that we can be saved, right? What does John 3:16? For God so loved that he gave his one only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Acts of love. And not only is it God's love towards us, but it's our love towards the saints. See, God doesn't want us to just simply be beneficiaries of his love, but he wants to be distributors of his love as well. The great commandment test. What was the thing you did last? Ask yourselves that you showed love to someone else. Right? Because if we're really followers of God, we ought to show love because God loved us. Now, it may not look like the same towards other people, but I want to share with you guys something, and I'm really proud of us. I'm really, really proud of us. I can't say enough about our youth group because, dang, I tell you what, everywhere we go, every place we went so far that I went with you, whether it was on missions, whether it was serving in St. Anthony's, wherever we go, people compliment you guys. Okay? people say really good things about you guys. They say, wow, you guys have God's spirit. In fact, yesterday they said it this way. One of the leaders said, wow, we hadn't had people with this kind of great attitude in a long time. They were blessing us. They were complimenting all these good things because of you guys and what you did. And why is that important? Because this is exactly what God calls us to do, to love on others. It's not easy because some of these guys are really stinky. Like, I swear, I mean, I was bussing tables and it was all fine and everything. Some of these guys really literally smell like they just crapped their pants. It smelled really bad. But what was interesting is not only did we deal with, we were serving, smelly people, we had all kinds of people. We had people who, they looked like they had money, they were dressed really nicely, but you guys got to understand, in the city, it's super expensive to live, right? So if you pay rent, that's, one bedroom apartment, $4,000-something, and you only make $5,000 a month, how does the math work out? So what do they do? You have these affluent people going in there, subsidizing their incomes by eating a free meal. And in fact, the way they do it over there is pretty interesting because they get all these donations for food and they only serve a meal one time. So literally whatever they cook, if they don't finish, they have to throw away. So it's highly encouraged. They give them these plastic bags and all these things. Take as much food as you want, take it with you and go with you. Why is that so important? Because it fulfills so many things. You know, one of the stresses of being homeless is knowing where you're going to eat. We don't take that for we take that for granted all the time, right? Because when we're hungry, we say, Mom, Dad, I'm hungry. That's what my son does. I say, okay, what do you want to eat? And we go either go out or we cook or we do something, right? You never have to think of these things. But for these people to know that they have a hot meal, that shows faithfulness, does it not? Does that not show love for someone else? And that's why, for you guys who served yesterday at St. Anthony's, you guys are true imitators of Jesus Christ. Because that's what the Bible calls us to do. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, Paul says it this way. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. A fragrant offering for sacrifice and good. Yesterday, you guys spent 9 hours with me. 9 hours. Now, we spent 2 hours driving, getting there and coming back and some walking in between, right? But in that time, I watched you guys grow so much. It wasn't, and this is why I say I love doing stuff with you guys, because I see Jesus in you guys. Like when I see these little girls, I'm not saying you're little, okay? But some of you guys are really cute, because these bus tubs are like this big. And they're putting like trays in this and they're sweating and it's hard and it's hard work. We've been on there walking. We served maybe like 1,800 lunches. Not too much, but the whole time we're moving. And I love that because even though it's hard work, it's labor intensive, it's hard work, but everyone had a smile on their face. Why? Because it was pure joy sharing the love of Jesus Christ. I tell you what, so I didn't go in the kitchen at all. I love being with the people. And the one thing that I love saying to everyone there is that God bless you. And see their reactions when they hear that. I guarantee you, when you say that, at least at St. Anthony, everyone had ear-to-ear smile when I said that. Why? Because we're literally sharing God's love. This is what he calls us to do, not only to have peace, but to love. He says, be imitators of Jesus Christ as a fragrant sacrifice offering. And you guys sacrificed your time, your energy, and he did really good. And it continues. So as God's beloved children, we are to walk in love. And that's the second thing we need to remember. Everything we do, it should be either an act of love, because we're united, or an act of love because we're overflowing with love, or an act of love because we understand that we're united with Jesus Christ. We can both know the love of God and share it with others. This is the privilege of being a Christian, my brothers and sisters. No one else has that privilege. Only other Christians, right? That is a big, important thing, to be able to share that love. Because in that love, not only does the world become a better place, but God's glory shines not only on us and upon us, but around us and everyone around us too. That's what we feel. That's when we know God is in our life. That's when we know we have completeness. When we share that love with others. Because when we get love and we hold it for ourselves, that's only half the picture. Because God says, yes, I love you, but I love you so that you can do these things. And that's why all those of you guys who are faithful servants, I don't want to name all of you guys, but you guys got to know all our uncles, all our aunties, right? All of our brothers before us who are helping us out, coming out to retreat and doing all these things as counselors, they're special. Not only are they special because they're literally our brothers and sisters, but they're special because they're hearing the God, they're hearing God's call upon them to serve you guys. So that being said, before the end of summer, I'd like to do some appreciation kind of thing for both teachers and for both our parents as well. We'll talk a little bit more about that later, but I want to introduce that idea to you guys. Because really, they're the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. And that's what you guys did who also served. And that's what we're here. The two greatest privileges is to know, not only to know the love of God, but to share it. And that leads us to the next point, faith. Ephesians 6:23 says it this way. Paul ties together love and faith. He doesn't just pray that the Ephesians will have love. He prays that they will have love with faith. And that's the third thing that I want us to understand. Because the most important thing Paul says about faith in this letter comes from its well-known verses, Ephesians 2:8. I believe that was your favorite verse, wasn't it? We have been saved through faith. Yeah, that's the one, right? Yeah, I remember. We have been saved through faith. And it goes on to tell us that the salvation we received, right, was only made possible not by our doing, but as a gift of God. In other words, we can't earn it. We can't do anything more than just receive it. Saying, God, I know you love me and you gave me these things. It's something we heard time and time again, but do you guys really believe it? Because according to the Apostle Paul, right, we're saved as a gift of God, because and no one can boast of it. So all the credit of this, of our salvation, every single bit, and I said it this way, right, glory goes to the giver. Right? The gift that we receive has nothing to say about us. I talked about the red envelopes, remember? Like, how do you know which uncle is the best uncle in your family? He's the one who gives you the biggest, reddest envelope, right? So the gift has nothing to say about us, has everything to say about the person giving the gift. And that's what we have in Jesus Christ. And it's this faith. This saving faith that we call. That Jesus went to the cross and he died for our sins and he was raised from the dead. Those of you guys who went through baptism class know this to be true. But it goes beyond knowledge. Because like I said, all of you guys have heard this. And by the look of your faces, I see you all look, oh, I heard this story before. Okay, that may be true. Right? But there's a difference from here and here. Because the truth is, you can have all the knowledge in the world. You can have knowledge, but it's different from belief. You know what belief is? To have this idea that everything that the Bible says is absolutely true. And not that it's only absolutely true, I completely trust what it says. How many of you guys actually believe that of our word that we have in our hands? The words that we read in the Bible, that this is absolutely true. In other words, it's not enough just to have knowledge about the gospel. And you can even have a certain degree of belief that Jesus did die for the sinners. But the saving grace, the saving gift of God, only comes through you personally. What do I mean by that? You know that when you die, that your name is written in the book of life. That's what it comes down to. What does your faith say? Because this is Jesus' promise. This is not our world. In fact, we're aliens in this, as Peter said. We're sojourners, right? But what is the purpose of this? Why do we live our lives here like this? Why do we do all of these things? To consume, to live, just to be for temporary? No. This life here is the temporary life. Our life is with him in heaven. That's the eternity that he's talking about. That's the payoff. Do you have that kind of faith? Do you believe that this life that we live is temporary? Or are you living for everything, for this time and this moment? Do you have absolute trust in that your name is written in the book of life when you die? This is a common thing Christians ask each other. Do you really believe you're going to die? Oh, you're going to go to heaven when you die? Is there a heaven? Right? You got to know for sure that your name is written in the book of life. And why do you need to know that? Because out of response to that, knowing that you have the gift of salvation for eternity, it lets you live your life in a different way here on earth. I told you many a time, as Christians, we have this special gift. We look at life backwards. Right? Everyone living life is looking forward. What's going to happen next? What's going to happen next? What's going to happen next? The Bible tells us what happens at the very end. That we've already won this battle. So what does that mean to us now? The application is we can live our lives in a different way. We don't have to live our lives like everyone else. We can really be the ones that are set apart. And that's what faith is. Faith is absolute trust that the gospel is the good news for you. Not just know about it, but believe it in your heart. And it leads to grace. Paul said in his letter that Ephesians is about peace, love, faith. And before we wrap it up, I want to talk about this important Christian concept of grace. So, in Ephesians chapter 6, grace is a topic, and he concludes it in his letter. Let me read it to you, verse 24. Grace be with you all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. Ephesians 2:8 says it this way. Paul didn't say that we have been saved through faith, but he said by grace you have been saved through faith. So part of God's grace is to know that there is salvation, that his grace is the only hope for us. Now, this is the thing that we need to understand about Christians, man, when we share our faith with other people. Other people in this world are going to say, you know what? I don't believe in that. And there's every right to do it, right? And that's why you got to understand, those of you guys who believe in Jesus Christ right now, that's the grace of God upon your hearts. Because there are millions, billions, trillions of people out there who hear the word of God and reject it. The fact that you are here in this church says something. And my prayer is that you guys don't forget these things as you go to college. You know what's the craziest statistic I heard? In no other time in history, right, has youth ever come to Jesus Christ. So more youth now are part of youth ministries, proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. They get baptized and all these things, right? And they say, yes, I'm for God. But as soon as they go to college, you know what the percentage, like, we have like 90-something percent of American youth going to youth group in the church or something like that. Of that percentage, you know how much of that holds that in college? Over 90% leave the church. So why is that? Why, you ask yourself, why is that? Why is it you forgot all the lessons that you learned in church? Is it that you forgot that Jesus loves you and that he died on the cross? Is it any of these things that you forget? No, I don't think. I would challenge you. No, you didn't forget. You just put other things before God. I'm not saying you personally. I'm just praying that won't be the case. This is the truth, because the devil lies to us and he distorts our image of who he says we are and the things he calls us to be. And we live our lives in different ways and we fall short all the time. And we keep chasing these rabbits. This is what I'm supposed to do. This is what I'm supposed to do. This is how I'm supposed to feel. This is what I'm supposed to look like. And time again, we follow these rabbits. And then what do? We're the ones getting hurt because we're putting our value in something that says you're not good enough. You know what God says? I love you. I love you so much that nothing matters. It's just only you and me. I don't know anything more powerful than that kind of love. Like the Bible says this way, no greater love than this, that one man should die or lay his life for another man. Look to the person to the right, to the left. Can you see yourself dying for that person? Kind of hard, right? Don't say it. No, I hate you. No. That's what it's all about. That's the gospel. That's the good news. That's what grace is. That the unlovable, right? Because you got to remember, we have sin. God looks at us before Jesus Christ. Oh, man. You ever had that? You look at something, it just irks you, and it just makes you, or think of something, and it makes you so mad. I have a few of those pet peeves, right? That makes me mad. And traffic is one of them. I get so mad. Turn into a different person when I'm driving. Right? But what we're talking about here is that everything that he did, because he loved us. There's no mistaking. There's no faking it. You know where your salvation comes from. The simple fact that you guys believe and are here is so important. Because you guys have an understanding of your identity. Jesus says, this is who you are and I love you. That's the first place to be. Because without that knowledge, you don't find your value. You find your values in all the wrong things. And when Jesus says, come to me, it's because he really loves us. There's no, I have to be this. I have to be this kind of grade point average. I have to have this kind of classes. There's no, none of that. He says, come to me just as you are. And you know what? I love you. And you know what? You may be like this, but I'm going to change you and make you something even more beautiful. And you guys are all beautiful. You guys are. Every single one of you, God has incredible value and love, and he sees you and he sees how perfect you are in his eyes. Because you are my son. You are my daughter. How? That's what life is all about. Ephesians 4:1-8 says this way. Ephesians 1:4-8 says it this way. In love, God predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ according to purposes as well. To praise the glorious grace which has been blessed in us, beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, forgiveness of trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. Verse 8, which he lavished upon us with all wisdom and sight. Friends, God has lavished grace upon us. Do you understand what that means? We are those beneficiaries. We get all these wonderful things that we don't deserve. We have redemption through his blood. We have forgiveness for our sins. We have peace with God. You know, there's nothing more important in my life to know that I'm good with God, because he's the most important thing in my life. Right? What is the most important thing to your life? And you want to find value in who you are and what you do? Figure out what the most important thing in your life and look hard at that. Because then you'll see who you are. But for me, it's all about Jesus. I told you about my brother Jun Lee and how he passed away. And how when he served God, he died from ALS at a young age of 28 years old. Survived by a wife and 3 daughters. And how is it fair? How is it that he gets to go away and he's living behind? So where is the peace in that? How is the justification? Why? Only thing I can come up with is this one thing, and it gives me peace too. When Jesus looks at me and he says, my good and faithful child, my good and faithful servant, my beloved, come with me and join in this rest. Come with me and celebrate together. That's the peace. Because if we find our value in ourselves in anything else, we will miss the mark. And that thing that tells us, oh, this is who you are, it's going to beat us down, chew us up, and spit us out. It happens over and over again. That's what depression comes in. That's where all these other things come in. Because we let the enemy tell us all these things. See, God's grace is not only necessary for our salvation, but we need it in order to survive this world. The world hates Christians. The world hates Christ. And that's why Paul concludes in 6:24 by praying, grace be all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love uncorruptible. He is praying because he knows we need it. Not just to be saved, because that's important. Salvation is important. But to live our lives the way he calls us to live here on this earth. And that's the challenge. Right? Because sometimes we're one way at church, and we're another way at this way, and we're another way this way, another way this way, another way this way. And you guys don't have to tell me, but I know it. I know it to be true. I see it when you interact with one another. I see it when you interact with other people outside and how you do it with the uncles and aunties. We act differently towards different people. But the one he's talking about, the one he's talking about is nothing changes in his love. Grace is the thing that sustains us on a day-by-day basis. It was by God's grace that he made you alive in Christ. And it is by God's grace that he keeps us alive in Christ until the day he returns. So this is my concluding remarks, my brothers and sisters, because this is Ephesians. Man, like I said, 4 pages only, so rich. So much good stuff in there. And I would challenge you after this series, break it down for yourself. Go chapter by chapter. Figure what Paul is saying, because this is not just for the Church of Ephesus. This is for you and me here. There's so much things that we can learn. Written 2,000 years ago, so applicable to our lives today. Because this is what the hope for humanity is all about. That God established his church. Not a building, but he established his church through our brothers and sisters. Like I said, to the left and to the right, this is our fellowship. This is what he talks about as koinonia. Because by God's grace, not only does he save us, he saves the people around us. People who were formerly opposed to God. Enemies of God. Who swore off God. Who said, God, I believe you, but turned their backs on God. All of these people are all belonging to God through his grace. And by his grace, granting us peace, not only to him, which is most important, but towards one another. How do you have lasting peace? Put Jesus in the middle of everything. In your families, in your relationships. Paul even talked about those. Whether working, whether parental relationships, husband and wives. Like I said, man, it's hard. I'm sure you guys all must have seen mom and dad fight once in a while. But how important for that, for you guys to understanding what that means in your life, what it means to be a wife, what it means to be a husband. He's giving us all the tools to really live a good life. And it all comes down to peace with one another and with him. The Great Commission and the Great Commandment test. In love, he adopts us into his family. That we can come from different walks of life. I'm Korean. I was born and raised in Hawaii. You guys are from California. But I'm bonded to you. You guys are my blood. Why? Because we all have Jesus going through us. His blood became our blood. He adopted us into his family so that you and I can be one. And that is the hope for humanity. That you cannot fix yourself. You cannot do it by yourself. But there is only one. And that is Jesus. And that requires faith in his death, in his resurrection. And that will fix each and every one of us. But it's more than just understanding that. But it is total faith and total trust that his death and resurrection will do the things he said it will do. And that takes faith. And faith only comes with grace. Not because we deserve it, but because he loves us. My brothers and sisters, that's the message of Ephesians. It is the gospel. It is basically saying, believe it and share it. Because that's the greatest news of the world. Pray with me. God in heaven, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the conclusion of Ephesians. Lord, what a powerful book it is to see your grace and mercy upon us, to know that we are forgiven, that the separation between God and man, Father, has been broken, Lord. that we have forgiveness, that we have life with you eternally, not only eternally, but here on earth right now. That you can live in us, Father, as image bearers of God. That you have given us your spirit for wisdom, for edification. That you have given Jesus Christ on the cross, that we know his forgiveness. And Father, I pray for each student here, Lord, that it would not just be head knowledge, but Father, that we have complete faith and trust in what the Bible says. That in Christ's death and resurrection and his love for us, that we have eternity with you in heaven. Because that's what Christianity is all about. To know what you did for us. We thank you, Father, for giving us this perspective in history, Lord, that we can look backwards instead of forwards. Father, and that we can just live our lives accordingly in such a way that we can know your glories and mercies, Father. But it takes one thing, commitment. So, Father, I charge every youth here, Lord, that they would be committed to you. They would be not only committed to just living life, but, Father, that they would be committed to living life abundantly in your word, in your grace, in this fellowship that you have brought us together at CCIC Tri-Valley. God, help us to know your mercies in an intimate way. That you would become more relevant as we work with one another, as we love with each other, as we love on the community and everyone else. God, help us to be the church you call us to be. That we would be able to walk in the manner worthy of your calling. We thank you for your mercies. We love you, God, and we thank you for the book of Ephesians and our brother Paul. We bless you for all these things in Jesus' name.